Well, sir, it's early afternoon as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of a small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mrs. Victor Joke at the telephone, conversing with her close friend and confidant, Mrs. Frederick Spinbach. Since Mrs. Gook is wearing her best hat and one of her nicest dresses, we surmise she's on the point of leaving for a downtown shopping expedition. She's saying briskly,
"Well, I told Miss Holloway in half an hour. Does that suit you?" "No, I said in Dr. Keeley's waiting room." "Uh-huh, so if anybody is late or early, they won't have to stand out on the street. See, I have to drop past Dr. Keeley's office anyway to pay a little bill, and the idea hit me, why not ask you two ladies?" "Yes. Sure. No, I don't imagine Dr. Keeley will call the police, everybody and their brother using his office for a meeting place." "Well, peachy dandy then, lady. Dennis office in half an hour. Of course, I'll probably be the one that's late. I've got a button to sew on. I'll hurry along, though. But if you and Miss Holloway get there first, don't gossip about me." "Hi, Mom." "Hi." Russell just walked in. "All righty-de-whitey then, Rootsy-de-pootie. You betty-de-wetty. Goodbye.
Been talking over the telephone, Ivan?"
"Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
I just stuck my head in long enough to grab my football helmet. What's the second name and children?"
"What's this, another teacher's meeting?"
"No. Hurry, you teacher, Miss Butler."
"It's not even 2 o'clock yet."
"That's right. Hurry, you teacher."
"Knowledge, you kids don't average 10 minutes a week in school anymore. Teacher's meeting's by the bushel."
"This isn't a teacher's meeting. Hurry, you teacher, Miss Butler."
"I got to sew a button on and run, Willie. I'm meeting Miss Tenbottom and Miss Holloway downtown in half an hour. The monster of a wash rag sale on at Hamilton. What's that?
A letter from Aunt Beth?"
"Yeah. I just now took it out of the mailbox. The mailman was early today. We don't generally get along this far."
"Oh,
isn't it?" "You see, Mom, I'm afraid that won't be possible."
"You're afraid what won't be possible?"
"You see, I just stuck my noodle in the house."
"Open Aunt Beth's letter and read it. I can't take the time. I'm in a hurry."
"Well, does it have to be read this minute?"
"No, isn't that a fine question for a boy to ask his mother?"
"No, but when you come home, he can..."
"I'll make my plans, thank you, mister."
"No, but I'm trying to explain. I just stuck my head in the house long enough to grab my football helmet and run."
"Oh, his football helmet. Why ain't you in school?"
"Simply because..."
"Meetings, teachers, meetings, teachers, meetings. Well, it's sure different from when I was little. When we went to school, we went for the day."
"I told you there wasn't any teachers meetings."
"I'd advise you to watch your tone of voice, Mr. Mann. Remember who you're talking to."
"No, but a human being does their devil best."
"Why isn't a human being opening Aunt Bess's letter and reading it?"
"What's your cracker name and throat?"
"Love, cinnamon, and rockin'."
"What's your cracker name and throat?"
"Oh, ish, Dr. Smith. Don't always give a person an argument. You can spare 6 seconds from your baseball gridiron. I'm in a hurry myself. Look at me, sewing buttons on here like a house of fire."
"Oyster cracker, Raymond, throw...
Talkity, talkity, tickety clack. Conversation tracked my 2 minutes back."
"No, but we answer me one question."
"Yes, you do it so well."
"Why does Aunt Bess's letter have to be read right this minute? If both of us are in a heck of a big hurry, why do we have to take the time
to..." "Answer you your question, Mr. Wolf. I'm meeting Miss Stembottom and Miss Holloway downtown in half an hour. Miss Holloway was a Carberry girl. Chances are Aunt Bess has got some lovely little Carberry gossips in her letter. She generally does have a few. Lovely little Carberry gossips would be nice to pass along to Miss Holloway. You do?"
"Mm-hmm."
"Is that a satisfactory answer to your question?"
"Yeah, but oyster cracker and Raymond too."
"What about them, for goodness sake?"
"They're out in the alley on top of the garbage box."
"That's exactly the place for them."
"Well, they're waiting for me."
"It's a bright, sunny day. The warm sunshine will be good."
"I wish I'd never even come home. I wish..."
"Hey, I'm going to lose my patience directly. You open up that letter and read."
"I'll bet $40.
Good idea."
"No.
You got the stationery out of the envelope?"
"No." "Read. Dear sister in law, thought I was..."
"Oh, Marshall, the teacher's meetings that makes kids act the way they do."
"Dear sister in law, thought I would..."
"Freedom they get. When I went to school, we stayed all day."
"There's no teacher's meeting. I said 9 times there's no teacher's meeting."
"What should I say about that tone of voice?"
"Your sister and all.
What's going on this afternoon if there's no teacher's meeting?"
"Our English teacher, Miss Button, was asked to deliver a speech about the poor Tennyson before the Senior Mothers Club, and our class is excused..."
All right, we'll read.
Dear Sister Noll, thought I'd write and see how you were feeling. You're fine.
All right, all right, all right. Well, look at please. Be slow.
Dear Sister Noll.
I'll go get the scissors and snip this thread. Come along.
What?
Come along with me to the dining room. I just snip the thread off of this button.
You mean sail along after you and me?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Come on. I can't believe any human being would ask
come on.
To follow along after him and actually read aloud.
Yeah, read aloud. Come on along, read aloud.
Dear Sister and all, thought I would write to see how you are feeling. We are finding...
Oh! What's this now?
Oh, boy, my ankle.
Bumped into the chair?
Yes.
Imagine you won't die.
What do you expect when a guy is holding the letter up in front of his face and walking right along?
Wouldn't be surprised if you bumped into that chair on purpose.
What a terrible accusation.
Yeah, a terrible, awful accusation. Well, here we are in the living room. Here's the scissors. I have to leave in a minute. Will you please read?
Oyster cracker and Amy.
Read.
Dear sister and all.
Skip that opening part. You've read it 9 million times.
How was Vic and Russell? Suppose Vic is having high old times down in his office. Russell must be all settled grand in school now. Does he like his teacher? Lucy is playing another...
As long as I'm right here and got me a little thread and dress, might as well stick my other button good and tight. Just about to fall off. It's almost a nickel apiece. It'll take me but a few minutes to walk to the Unity building where Dr. Katie's office is. Yeah, I will make this other button tighter.
Oyster cracker and Raymond Phil.
Yes, I know. Lucy is learning what?
Lucy is learning another hard piano selection where she slides her fingernail down the white keys and stomps on the loud pedal with both feet. The teacher, Miss Hendricks, seems to specialize in that kind. Walter said he wondered if he were raising our child to be a musician or an acrobat. Uh-huh.
Well, little joke. Walter, don't tell me doubt much in little joke.
Say, mate, do you remember that Mr. Crow that lived over near Edith Braun? Well, he passed away Sunday. The poor old fellow.
All right, mister, take it easy now. You're not going to a fire. Let's go over that part again, please.
Well, he passed away Sunday.
Who was it? Start further up.
Say, mate, did you remember that Mr. Crow that lived over near Edith Braun? Well, he passed away Sunday.
Oh, that's the kind of little Carberry gossip that'll be nice to pass along to Miss Holloway.
Well, he passed away Sunday.
Miss Holloway was born and raised in Carberry.
Well, he passed away Sunday.
Of course, he's a good deal younger than Aunt Bea.
Well, he passed away Sunday.
Go ahead. Yes, I remember Mr. Crow. He looked so poorly. No voice to speak of. Hello, he seemed so feeble and whiny.
Well, he passed away Sunday.
Go ahead.
Well, he passed away Sunday.
Poor old fella, he was close to 100 years old, they say.
Poor old fella, he was close to 100 years old, they say.
Oh, well, I took the words right out of Aunt Bess's mouth.
His daughter Agnes must be close to 70.
Hmm.
I said to Walter, I said, goodness, if I live to be as old as Mr. Crowell, I hope they'll take me.
Telephone's ringing, telephone's ringing.
Okay, well, so long. I'll see you later on this afternoon.
Come on.
Huh?
Come on and keep reading.
You don't mean it.
Oh, yes, Russell. Quit being the actor on the stage. Read.
There's talk that Grace McCuntley will marry that Mr.
You skip him?
No.
Well, don't.
There's talk that Grace McCuntley will marry that Mr. Ow!
You did run into that chair that time on purpose.
What kind of a half-wit would deliberately almost kill herself?
All right.
What an insane numbskull would pull off a stunt like that.
All right.
There's talk that Grace McCuntley will marry that Mr.
This can be. Hope it's not Bill Erickson or somebody wanting to gossip half an hour.
Oyster cracker and Raymond. Keep on reading.
Yes.
You're going to answer the telephone and you ask me to keep on reading while you talk?
That's it. Nothing.
I can't read.
Read.
There's talk that Grace McCuntley will marry that Mr. Hooker that is
married
to a new San Francisco.
Why, Mrs. Dangerson, hello.
No kicking herself.
I never recognized the boy.
Walter says he bets himself.
Say, you're quite the stranger.
Oh,
I see.
Well,
I thought you were away. How's Mabel?
Uh-huh.
And the baby?
Nothing.
Oh, how sweet.
Well,